The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. When he ascended to the throne, King David took the Ark of the Covenant into the hill country of Judah. Because of the great power of this throne of Almighty God, he was afraid to take the presence of the Lord into Jerusalem. So King David led a procession of attendants and priests and choirs into the hills and left the Ark in the home of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And Samuel writes that the Lord God blessed Obed-Edom and his whole household for those 3 months. It was something that happened again 1,000 years later. But this time, there was no grand procession, no glorious golden ark upon a cart, no song, no sacrifice, as the physical presence of God went into the hill country of Judah. But that's the way of the Lord our God now. He works in hiddenness, in humility. Young Mary, still reeling from the news of the word of the Lord from the angel Gabriel, travels south from Nazareth all the way to the hills of Judah to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. So consider Mary, the virgin. There's nothing grand about her. She's just a girl from Nazareth. She's righteous, she's upright, to be sure, but no one grand, no one special in the eyes of the world. Yet she has found favor in the eyes of the Lord. She is highly favored by the Most High. She is gifted with an honor beyond comprehension, to be Theotokos, the mother of God, the bearer of the Christ. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the one who speaks worlds into being, whose breath alone causes life and light to spring from nothingness, comes into her womb and becomes flesh and is made man. The mighty one has done great things to me, and holy is his name, she sings. Mary becomes the Ark of the Covenant. The physical presence of Almighty God is within her. And no longer is he enthroned between the cherubim. No longer is he in the pillar of cloud and fire. No longer does he speak from a burning bush or ride a chariot throne. No, the eternal Son of God steps down from his place at the right hand of the Ancient of Days and is made man. And so it is that the presence of God, which once paraded into the hill country of Judah on an ox-drawn cart, attended by no less than the King of Israel himself, now travels the same roads in the womb of a virgin. No longer does the presence of the Lord strike fear into the people and need to be hidden away. But Mary, the new Ark, is invited into the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, where blessings are spoken and blessings are given. Mary comes into her cousin's home, and the creative power and glory of the Lord's presence immediately causes rejoicing. In Mary's very greeting, there is power. Elizabeth says, "When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." And Elizabeth sings. She chants. She intones, St. Luke says, a blessing over Mary. She uses a type of song that was only sung in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And all the miracles of Jesus are foreshadowed in the words of Mary's greeting and in Elizabeth's womb. The infant John leaps. The voice of the Mother of God, the one who carries the presence of the Lord, causes rejoicing. John leaps. It happens over and over again as Jesus, God made flesh, speaks his word to the blind and to the lame and to the deaf and to the demonized, to the leper and even to the dead. Christ speaks and they leap for joy. Christ speaks and they can see and they can hear. Christ speaks and they rise from the dead. The Creator has come. The Lord is among his people. The old things are passing away. This is the advent of a new creation. What began with a promise to Eve that a Savior would be born comes to its end in Mary, who bears the Savior. What began with a promise to Sarah that she, in her old age, would bear a child of promise comes to its end in Elizabeth, as the child that she bears in her old age points to that one who is the promise, the very Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. And so it is that John's leaping in Elizabeth's womb reflects the joy of all of creation. The psalmist says that the seas roar, that the rivers clap their hands, that the mountains sing for joy. It all sounds so grand and so wonderful and so glorious, doesn't it? It sounds so majestic and magnificent and impressive. And here you are. What do you make of it? You who strive so hard, yet seem ever so far from glory, because your limbs fail, your eyes dim, and your ears fade, and your mind struggles, and you groan at the suffering around you. You aren't ready for the first Christmas with an empty chair at the table. You look around and you wish that once, just once, that it could be like it used to be. and you get distracted from all the glorious things that you hear today, and you struggle to love your neighbors as yourself because they can be so unlovable. And you struggle to love the Lord your God when it seems that He hasn't heard your prayers. And so often your prayers end up being the question, why? Rather than being words of praise and thanksgiving. And that's why you need to hear this word of the Lord today. Because if all of creation sings and leaps for joy, how much more should you rejoice? How much more should you repent of your selfishness and your sin and rejoice with Mary and Elizabeth? Because Mary's song is the song of the redeemed. When she sings, "The Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is His name," she echoes that the Mighty One has done great things for her and for baby John and for you. Look at Mary. She's just a young woman. Yet the Lord God Almighty has granted her a marvelous gift by grace. And even now, as you wonder what tomorrow or the new year will bring, the Lord God Almighty is already there with His gifts for you. And as you plunge down the dark road of selfishness away from Him, Christ is the one who steps in the path of danger, crushing Satan's head even as his fangs sink into his heel. And when your words harm those that you love, Christ takes that pain into Himself as the nails, spear that pierced Him through. And when you keep running back again and again to that deep well of sin to drink once more from its poisoned depths, Christ is the one who swallows up that iniquity in His death. And when you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, He is your food and drink. He is your eternal meal of daily bread, of thanksgiving, and of peace. He indeed has done great things for you, even as you have done great things against Him. So repent and rejoice and sing with King David as the presence of the Lord goes forth among you. Rejoice and ponder the mystery of your almighty, infinite God coming into the finite space of Mary's womb for you. The ark of the Lord's presence is no longer covered with gold, but with skin. The ark of the Lord's presence no longer carries tablets of law written in stone, but the very gospel in flesh and blood. There's no jar of manna, but the bread of life come down from above for you. And so the strength and the might of God's holy arm is hidden under weakness, hidden in a virgin, hidden in a manger, hidden on a cross, hidden for you in word, in water, in bread, in wine. Where is God for you? Where is the presence of the Lord for you? God is with His people, for God is one of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.